Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
Perfect. Welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us today in the classroom and also for those who are joining us online. I'd like to introduce a colleague of mine, Mudassar Yamin, who is working with software testing, software security. He's very experienced in cybersecurity. He has many years of experience and also certification. So he's going to talk about different certifications and also about Norwegian Cyber Range, right? Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Andre. I am doing my postdoc here, and I talk about just some stuff like related to cybersecurity education in Europe and overall. So why we are talking about this cybersecurity education, there is a like global cybersecurity skill gaps. There are around 3.5 million people are missing in the world that are required now to work in different industries and help like protect different organizations. So ISC2 is like a very what you call respected organization which gathers a lot of data from individuals that are working in industry. So this data is gathered from around 4,000 individuals around the world that are professional and ISC2 members, and they give you like how what is like the situation of cybersecurity skill gap, like what kind of like people like different regions are looking like. Here you can see like there is different regions, like in France you have like 120 plus growth of like they're looking for 60,000 professionals. Germany has growth. Some countries have like some country have like what you called not growth, but overall there is like a, what you call a huge demand of cybersecurity professionals. And they also ask different kind of questions from the peoples, like what you called, like what are the problems there. So the most prominent problem is like identifying qualified talent that is required to serve the organizational needs. So, and they don't have like what you called people that are properly trained. So these are like the things that are the problem that industry and academia and the whole governments are facing around the world. So in EU, what EU is trying to do is like they are like try to raise awareness at a very high level. So they try to involve like the whole population. So this is the study we conducted here in NTNU with the what you call sponsorship of ENISA, European Network and Information Security Agency. So we identified like how we can solve this problem. So we organize a lot of cybersecurity competitions at different levels. So these competitions are raise awareness. So what we did, we gathered data from like 20 plus countries and look at how they're training, they're selecting and training people for cybersecurity education. And we identified like there are like multiple countries like Czech and Estonia are doing very well and like pushing people towards the field of like cybersecurity education. And how they are doing it, they are focusing on their schools. So in the schools, what they are doing, they're promoting like technical subjects, like very core like IT security and stuff like that. That is pushing and motivating people of all genders and from diverse population and going into the field of cybersecurity. And like some other countries, like Italy is focusing on colleges and universities, and they have like a good network of universities that are collaborating with each other. They have like what you called, let's say like local football. If you have like a local football team in a region, they have a local cyber team in a region. They participate and compete against each other. So it is more like a reputation based, and that's how they are promoting their culture. And in academia, at fruit level, we have like academia, industry, and governments. They are putting their what you called effort in organizing cybersecurity months and stuff like that. So in this activity, what we are doing in Norway, we are responsible for European Cybersecurity Challenge 2023. It is going to be like one of the largest cybersecurity challenge in the world. Around 40-45 countries will participate here. So we will just do a little CTF at this moment to promote like some cybersecurity. So yeah, you can scan this code maybe and try to go to this platform. I will just go through, because this is like a ULA CTF. This is like your entry point into like European Cybersecurity Challenge. So we select between 16 to 25 years old for Norwegian National Cybersecurity Team. So you can just go there and I will play this City of this. This is like a, what you call teaser challenge for the Julius ETF. It will be like between 16 to 23 December. And I can just switch to, just give me a second, I can open it. Yes. Oops, internet. Yes. So it is going to happen. So we have like a teaser challenge here. So it is just like a small CTF. You can also go and join our Discord. Here we will like what you call distribute some other information about this challenge. So we just say like, we just want to spark interest of like a people in cybersecurity. So here it just give you like a hex value. From this hex value, you can decode it. You can, everything can be done online on your system. Just give me a second. Oops. You can just put your hex here, Control V, and convert. So this gives you like a base 64. It's a challenge. It is designed for like kids, so they, everybody should be able to do it. If you just search on internet. If you go to like maybe, just give it a second, base 64 decode. So here it gives you like a hint, there are more image formats than PNG, okay? So you can just look in the website, like in the Julius ETF website, what is the PNG file? You can see this logo. You can just try to put this logo here. It is a PNG file. You can try different file formats like SVG. It is like just whatever, JPG. So it, there should be like something here. But
don't tell the secret.
I'm just registering it. So you can go to GIF. You can see like there is a file there, but what this file is about. And it is flashing, it may sound like a bit different, but this is also a form of code. It's called Morse code. So you can just manually test it, check the difference between white and black, and you can translate this code. It's called Morse code. But there is always another way. Because doing this, you can do it with a mobile application or you can do it with paper and pencil. But you can also, there is always another way in solving a problem. So this file actually has a like a steganographic function. You can just search about steganography. You can download this file and get the URL of the platform and the registration code. So you can register for Julius ETF and maybe start participating. If you are lucky, you can be like a part of national team for cybersecurity in Norway. Just try. Then, yeah, I will continue. So this is just like the entry point for like 16 to 25 years old in the field of cybersecurity. But actually, what are the skills needed for cybersecurity exercises? So there are multiple teams in an organization and multiple levels. So there are red teams, blue team, green team, yellow team, orange team. Red are mostly attackers and bluers are mostly defenders. Okay, red teams are like penetration testers and what do you call security assessment professionals. They launch attack on the organization network. Blue teams are like the SOC analysts and what you call the SIEM operative and stuff like that. So they try to detect those attacks. Then there is a yellow team who is like the IT infrastructure team who design the IT infrastructure. There are purple teams who like what you call make changes in the infrastructure based upon attacker knowledge. And then there are green teams who make changes based upon defender knowledge. And yeah, same as like what you call orange team as well, that also make changes attacker knowledge. this is at operational level, but there are other levels in an organization which we have to understand. There are operational, tactical, and strategic levels here, as you can see. So most of these things is happening at implementation level, operation level. Some incident happened, they reported to like people up in the ladder, like in the business process, like their managers, and they maybe respond to that incident locally, or maybe escalated to like a strategic level where like we have like C-level executive like CISO, CTO and stuff like that. So they make very big decisions, and their decision impacts the whole operational security of the organizations. So we have like here is like concept of escalation ladder, where when one incident is happened, how it can be escalated to higher layers, and how their decisions can be translated into operational level artifacts. So this is what we try to do in training like our CyberEng. You can go towards CyberEng. But here is like a picture of like the kinds of certifications that are available to train for this operational, tactical, and strategic layers. So we have like what you call different what you call categories of certifications. They can be technical, non-technical, managerial, stuff like that. So there are so many. So what to choose from is like become like a big problem. So some are like red teamer, some are like information assurance engineering, some are like security management. But there are a lot of there. So what to choose, what not to choose becomes a problem. But there is a list of like what you called US DoD approved cybersecurity certifications. So they have like multiple levels, information assurance, technical, information assurance, what you call manager, and they define like which certificates lies in which categories. So most of the world is following US standard. So what the US is doing, everybody is following that. So you can see like at IoT level, you have like CNA security, CCNA security, Network Plus, and like at information assurance technical level, we have like CISP. CISP is like very well respected certification. Similarly, you can have like what you called other certification, like you have like CEH there as well, like for hacking, and CHFI like for incident response. So they have specific roles as well. So there is a lot of things that are going on that an individual can learn, but how we can like deliver this much content to like individuals in our like university, this is a question. And there are like this penetration testing certification programs. Like from EC Council, you can see like they have like this, what you call Certified Network Defender, Certified Ethical Hacker, and Ethical Hacker Practical. One is like a theoretical program. You have like, I don't remember exactly, 150 questions, and you have to clear like 120 out of it. And then you have like a practical program where you have like a theory, plus you have like six machines that you have to exploit. Similarly, you have ECSA, ECSA Security Analyst, and LPT Master. LPT Master is like they're like what you call top tier expert level certification, where they have like what you call three rounds and targeting different OS, network, and application layers, and you have to find these vulnerabilities. Similarly, we have other certification from GIAC and Offensive Security. So GIAC are like very expensive. I didn't did anything, any of them, because yeah, for cost, yeah. But offensive security, you have like a lot of programs there. Like OSCP is like very well respected in the industry. So if you want to start a career in penetration testing, I must say like you should start from OSCP. And then you have like OSCE and other certifications. Like, and the top tier certification is OSEE, Offensive Security of Exploitation Project, Exploitation Expert, and there are other programs. So personally, I did like these of these, like so most of them were paid by my employers. So I did OSCE, OSCP, LPT Master, CPT, ICH for just red teaming exercises. For blue teaming, I use like CCNA, CyberOops. They have like this certification program, which I did back in 2017. I did like CHFI and Kaspersky. So we have like a lot of what you call Kaspersky certifications. That is their what you call product related certifications. They have like what you call a Kaspersky is like one of the best antivirus solution that is available in the market, and they have like a lot of offerings for their certification program. If you are working in an organization that is a partner of Kaspersky, then you can very easily get a lot of Kaspersky certifications. And then I do CISO. It's like also like a US Air Force endorsed management level certification for cybersecurity management processes. So what I did here in the CyberEng is like I took all the courses that are presented in like US DoD Directive 8570. I analyzed them, and then I created like the top 17 or 18 skill sets that are like mostly repeated in those certification programs. So based upon this security, what you call skills that are being taught in those cybersecurity programs, I use those skills to train people here in our cyber range. So to train people, we need to have like these capabilities of an environment. So for physical environment, we have like, for pilots, we have like simulators. For like shooting, you can have like a shooting range. You have crash test dummies, fire drills. You can see we have like a lot of what you call physical environments for training capabilities and testing. But for virtual environment, we need to have like a cyber range for training cybersecurity skills. So we devised this cyber range taxonomy and their functional architecture. It has now become a seminal work. So yeah, most people are like using this to describe a cyber range. So we define like what is a cyber range, what the environment is needed, what kind of teams are there, what are like the roles and functions are there, what kind of scenarios are needed to be there. So here we can explain like training scenarios. Like if you have like, let's say there was like a very famous incident or like recently of Uber hack. So we can describe that kind of scenario in our cyber range and try to test it and try to what you call, we call it 3 P's, people, process, and platform. We try to train those 3's. So we will launch an attack on specific peoples and check their reaction on like accounts against certain attack vectors and how they are following the process or not on which platform. So we try to create these kind of scenarios. We also monitor and learning environment. We have like a LMS where we try to push a lot of content for teaching cybersecurity education in our LMS so people can get the training. And we have some management level, like how we manage the resources on the cyber range, how we manage the roles and who are interacting on it. Similarly, we created like the functional architecture of the cyber range, like the portal, the management system, training and execution module, testing module, scenarios, monitoring, runtime environment, and data storage on the cyber range. So in the cyber range, we can do like 2 types of exercises, operation-based and tabletop-based exercises, and we are trying to link both of these. So operation-based are like the kind of exercise very similar to the thing like the CTF thing which I showed you. So you have like a technical problem and you try to address that technical problem. It can be like an incident that an operational analyst detected and trying to respond to it, or it can be like application that some attackers are trying to what you call break in. Similarly, in tabletop scenarios, we have like a big scenario in which there are like some incident happen which you have to be addressed at a strategic CISO C-level suite. So at or tabletop level, you have people like managers who are handling like an incident, non-technical people, and they can ask for help like from other entities like police or maybe national level certs. So there was this statistics from like INISA back in 2015, but on which I theorized like this concept, like how like cybersecurity exercises are conducted. Like you can see like most of them at exercises at that time were like tabletop based. So because conducting operation based exercises is a very difficult task, you have to create a lot of operational artifacts. Just for the CTF, you have to put a lot of effort. You have to create like the technical infrastructure of the CTF and provide what you called the write-ups. But for like a tabletop exercise, you have to like just create a scenario that is based upon some realistic stories. There was another paper from like some researcher from Czech Republic. They studied like how these exercises are conducted, because you know, like they have like different phases of this exercise, like preparation, dry run, execution, and evaluation. So in preparation, you have to prepare the exercise infrastructure, the kind of vulnerabilities needed to be there in that infrastructure, and discuss the scenario at a higher level. In dry run, you have to validate the scenario requirements are fulfilled or not, or the infrastructure is vulnerable or not. Then you can play with other people's, like, you can execute the scenario, like, you can execute the scenario with different teams and check their performance, and then you evaluate. So in the cybersecurity exercise lifecycle, we have like this kind of interaction at an operational level. You have blue team that is securing and monitoring and defending the infrastructure. We have a green team that is like maintaining and repairing the infrastructure, because you know, like attackers are performing attacks, things can go wrong, and they're just maintaining the infrastructure as it is. And we have a white team that is design the rules, the score guidelines for the whole exercise. So we have these kinds of interactions. So mostly there is blue and red team are attacking each other, while the green team is like trying to, what you call, maintain the infrastructure, and white team provide the rule set. I, what you call, summarize like the topologies at an operational level, how these scenarios are conducted. So we have like a simple CTF scenario at an operational level, where we have like what you call a segregated network, where like all the like vulnerable machines are present, and the attack network can launch attack on the vulnerable machines. We have an attack and defense scenario, where teams have like similar infrastructure, and they're attacking and defending against the attacks, against each other. And we have like a red team, blue team scenario. In a red team, blue team scenario, we have a complex multi-subnet environment, which is under attack. Which is under attack by what you call another team that is launching attack on that team. That is launching attack on the infrastructure. So this is like one of the game which we developed to create like these kinds of scenario and analyze this scenario pair in NTNU. So here you can like what you called, this is like an attacker view. So an attacker can start from a website. If you discover a website, he can pivot into the internal networks, like the servers and what APIs are connected, and he can try to exploit those APIs to like what you call fetch into the internal systems. So it is just like what you called a representation of a scenario at a network level. So he attacker has this capability to identify new exploits, and there is also like capability for a defender as well. A defender can what you call try to patch the systems and try to what you call figure out what is the attacker track is and try to prevent it. But what we did is was like that. We took this operational network environment and translated into what you call a domain-specific language. I can explain a domain-specific language, and then translate it to operational artifact. So domains, you know, like programming languages like Python, C++, C#. So you use those programming languages to program different kinds of like what you call computer utilities. So what we did here is like we developed like another programming language that is specific to cybersecurity exercise domain. And in that programming language, you can specify the requirements of like what kind of exercise you want to conduct, and it can translate that specification into operational artifact, and it can deploy the necessary exercise infrastructure. So this is like a representation of one of the compiler, how it is doing. You can call it compiler, you can call it interpreter, or I call it orchestrator. So what it does is like it has like multiple templates. It has network topology template. It has like a vulnerability injection template, traffic generation, attack emulation, and defender emulation templates. So for network topology, what it do was like it creates like exercise infrastructure, and we have like a sky-high OpenStack. It generates heat templates and deploy that heat template on sky-high automatically. Then we have vulnerability injection. In vulnerability injection, it does like it creates like software, services, and configuration related vulnerabilities and inject those into the deployed infrastructure. Then we have a traffic generation template. So in the traffic generation template, what it does, it can perform multiple actions. So it can replay like recorded traffic. It can create like what you call, you can use TCP relay to play the traffic, and we can also emulate like the GUI of the machine on which this is running. So it uses like a VNCD tool. There is a tool where you can specify like the behavior of like of what elements of the GUI need to be manipulated, and it emulates like a real user. Then we have attacker emulation and defender emulation. So in the attacker emulation, we have automation scripts from Metasploits and other utilities, where we have like can already define like the attack paths that an attacker is needed to is going to take, and how it is going to what you call perform like exploitation, lateral movement, and stuff like that. So those are predefined, and it launches those attacks on the deployed infrastructure. So, and we have a defender emulation system in which we specified like the kinds of logs that an attacker can create, and based upon those logs, how you can react. So we created this level of automation just to make our life easy, because you know, in some exercises there are no red teamers available and you just want to train the blue teams. So you can use like an automated attacker to launch the attacks, and they can, what you call, try to figure out what happened. And in some cases you just have red teamers but you don't have like blue teamers, so vice versa. We can train the defender teams like what kind of attacks they might perform, and they can respond to those kinds of attacks. This is like a simple what you call script or snippet of like the language which we developed. You just specify like name, CID, or network ID, and it will. Network ID is like a value that is given from like OpenStack. So you can just put it there, and it will create those kinds of network. And you can define like the kinds of machine. The OS value is also already present in OpenStack, so you can just fetch it up there, and it will create those machines. You can inject like vulnerabilities 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. Like what kind of vulnerabilities are there? You can deploy software, services, and I told you configurations. So you can just upload, okay, we have this buffer overflow vulnerability present. So you can just put that file there, and it will deploy automatically on the system and make it vulnerable. You can set weak passwords there. You can deploy like Docker-based services and other services. This is up to your imagination what you want to do. Similarly, we can like specify like the defender agent behavior. So we use like the CSV files. In the CSV files, what we have like a knowledge base. In the knowledge base, you have like a detection log. But when the log, what is the log structure? It is looking for like, if you have some idea of Windows event logs, so it is looking for those kinds of event logs, and based upon those event logs, it has some response, like maybe block the service or maybe block the service and kill the process and stuff like that. They have like these responses defined there, and it has an algorithm there that I don't want to explain. It is a bit complicated, but what it do is like it analyze like the process and file system at the same time, and whenever there is a manipulation is happening based upon the knowledge base, it will react to that thing. Similarly, we have like this syntax for like attacker agent, so we can specify like what kind of attack with which kind of utility is going to launch. Everything is like very automated, so we use like just a standard Kali Linux box, and we can make an SSH connection from an agent over agent directly, and it can use like the whole Kali Linux as an attack agent and launch different kinds of attack. So I just showed like a simple syntax here how an attack is being performed. Yes, so there is like a simple scenario that we emulated using our developed language. So we created like 400 plus machines for like a very long, 2 week long exercise. It had like 84 participants, and it was designed and developed like within few hours. Actually, it was like 52 minutes I wrote it in my paper. And this is like the topology looks like. It was like red versus blue exercise, but this is what I'm showing you. Like we have like this kind of capability to just specify the requirements of an exercise infrastructure, and it is deployed. So most of the time was taken on like deployment of like the machines, because you know, like even OpenStack on Sky-High is like a bit slow. So we just have to control the flow, like the amount of commands that we sent within the minute. So we have to add our own timers to stop the slow down the process, else it is very fast, very, very fast. So this is what we are doing in Norwegian CyberEng, but I know like there are other people that don't have access to the CyberEng, so that's why I add like this local capabilities, how we can add local capabilities if you don't have access to the CyberEng. So what is needed, like again, this is new EU report, European Cybersecurity Skill Framework. So what they did was like, they created these 12 profiles that are going to be there in any organization for like working in cybersecurity. They can be cybersecurity researcher, managers, forensic investigator, penetration tester, architects, auditor, educator, implementer, officer, responder, compliance officer, and specialist. And they also specified what kinds of skills they need to have in this latest report. See, it is just like a 1 month old report. Yes. So based upon these reports, there are other EU projects that are like trying to address those issues. There is this EU project like IPU CyberEng. It is open source, and they're also trying to create like those kinds of what you call train on those kinds of skills. You can access that. It is open source. It is endorsed by EU, and yeah, should work. Should we work? We tried to test it here in our CyberEng. It is working, but yeah, you can also try. Because it also need like OpenStack to deploy, so you need to have like to create like this kind of environment. We have another what you call free open source CyberEng, Crack. It is from Italy, and yeah, they are using Terraform to deploy like the operational infrastructure required for a CyberEng. You can try that as well, and they can also deploy like on different clouds environment as well. Then you have Qs and Cyrus. These are also like two other CyberEngs that are free and open source. You can try to access it and try to deploy it in your local environment. Cyrus is like a bit lightweight, so I think you can run it on your what you call laptop or desktop if you want. Yeah, just access it and yeah. There are some other things like some freely accessible like practice platform like Hack the Box. I think most of you have heard of it. Just go and log in there. They have like also like a login challenge. Just create a login challenge and create an account. And they have like what you call penetration testing box. You can perform like simple attacks on like on a network on an operational layer. We have like Proving Ground is very similar to Hack the Box. It has like a free offering as well. You can just log in there and you have access to like an OSCP style lab where you can practice your skills. And there is this Try Hack Me. Hack Me. But you can also use Try Hack Me as well. It is like what you called. It has also some free stuff, but Try Hack Me offer ask for money as well. But it teaches you like the basics of cybersecurity step by step. So it is very good starting point. And if you want to like try to do like some certifications, you can also look for like this CISO, Cisco Cybersecurity Certifications, Cybersecurity Scholarship. So what they do is like you just apply here. They offer this scholarship every year. So I got this scholarship from them. So just apply there and yeah, you can try to get it. So I got my like what you call CCNA Security from there, CCNA CyberOops from there. Also, EC Council have these offerings for scholarships. I got like my LPT Master as a fellowship from there. I just applied it there. They look at a number of files and they just offer it. Like it was like I think thousand USD dollar for like exam attempt. So you can try there as well. And there is also like this ISC2 scholarship, cybersecurity scholarship. They can offer up to like 5,000 USD if your profile matches with the requirements. And yeah, this is also very good. So, questions?
Thank you very much for this very good presentation. Very insightful in the what you're doing at CyberEng and also certification-wise. Do you have any questions? Anything that you
want?
Exactly how many certs do you have?
Around 20. Yeah.
When did you take your first one?
I think I did like 15 to 16 in like 2016 or 17. Yeah, at that time. I was working as a consultant in a what you call cybersecurity company doing penetration testing. So most of the time I was doing penetration testing. So things were very easy at that time. So yeah.
Any other questions? Anyone?
Online.
Online.
Okay.
It's one-way communication.
Okay, perfect.
It's on Zoom. What do you see as a challenge when it comes to, let's say, taking the certifications? I mean, the technology developing too fast, you know, new cyber attacks, like what's in your view, you know, the biggest challenge with the whole certification industry?
Yeah, it depends. Like, you know, like for an entry point, it's okay because, you know, like the recruiters looks for like these kinds of certifications. But when you are in the industry, you really have to like work hard, because you know, like OSCP, like certification, you can crack it like maybe in 2 months if you practice hard on their labs and system. But when you go in a real environment, there are a lot of things there. There are IoT, there are other stuff that very few people even know about, and even the clouds and stuff like that. So you have to manage those, not just as a like a attacker, but as a defender as well. Because when you're attacking them, you're exploiting them, you have to guide them how to patch those things. For that thing, you need a lot of experience working, yeah. So this is the challenge, because people can crack the certification, but they can get a job, but after that, things become difficult for them. So they have to learn very hard.
Exactly. So yeah. Basically, you need to practice.
And yes.
Staging certification is just one part. Or
yes, yes.
The first step, but still you need to practice.
It will just get your like what your foot in the door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Still need to practice. And find the skills.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Anything? Well, thank you, Mudassar, for your presentation. If you could share the slides, it would be fantastic.
So yeah.
Put it on Blackboard.
Okay.
Good luck with your certificate.